Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and let us continue to be in the attitude of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your presence once again with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we want to say thank you, for you have been glorified in the midst of your children from the beginning of the service till now. Lord, we commit the rest of the time into your hands, even as we prepare to listen from your throne of grace the most glorious word. Lord, help our hearts and minds to be attentive to your word, learn it, understand it, apply it, and to live it to bring glory to your name alone. So committing all of us into your hands with honor and glory and praise unto you, in Lord Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I see Friday school children here? A little bit of hands. Yes, we do have a good number of Friday school children. Children, God bless you. You are welcome along with your parents to be here. So you, before your Friday school starts in the next month, you will all be with us. So I have one quiz question for you all. This is for adults as well, but the answer should be given only by the Friday school children. The question is, sister, you can put the slide. So that's your question. Who decides what is right and wrong? Only Friday school children. Can anyone answer loudly? That's a good answer. Okay. Any other answers? Okay, now I'll give you the options. Just the next slide, please. So these are your options. Okay. Now all of those of you who will choose answer A, can you raise your hands? I don't see any hand. Answer B, option B. Anyone? Children? No, I don't see any hand. Option C? Now you church, look at the hands. Okay, there are a lot of our dear children. Okay? So option C is available. Very good. Option D? Anyone? No, I don't see any hands. I see only option C, few hands. Option E, a few hands again. Yes, a little big here, here, there. So, what's the answer, right answer? C, very good, excellent. Very nice, very nice. Okay, so today, we are all going to go on a journey to find out what is the right answer. Alright? So you all have to be with us together with your parents. So we are going on a journey for the next 1 hour to find out the true answer through the Bible, through the Word of God. Alright? Let's see. Okay, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. I am reading it from NIV. The Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30, I am reading. It is because of him, which is God. So it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. So in my last message, so we have seen how Jesus Christ has become our redemption. Why only through Jesus Christ you can be redeemed from sin and death. But today we are going to see how Jesus Christ has become the wisdom of God for all of us. That is our righteousness. So the title of our today's message is Christ, our righteousness. Okay, so the scripture what we have taken is Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 30, which I have just read now. However, our next scripture is taken from Romans chapter 1, 16 to 17. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. So here Paul is addressing the Romans and is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So Paul is telling he is not ashamed of the gospel. Another word for gospel is the good news. So I am not ashamed of the good news because it is, which means the good news is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the good news, a righteousness from God is revealed. So let us ponder upon this word revealed. When do we generally use this word revealed in our day-to-day life? Reveal. Children go to their friends and say, reveal this to me. We go to others and ask, reveal. You only reveal something which is secret. Am I right? Which is open. Nobody reveals anything which is already known to everyone. So anything that is revealed is already kept hidden, was kept secret. Now here comes Paul. He's telling, in the good news, a righteousness from God is revealed, which means the righteousness which we are trying to find out, which we are seeking now, where is this right or wrong, what is this righteousness, is actually a hidden secret. Now it is revealed where? In the good news. So for in the good news, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. So this righteousness is given only by faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. However, when Paul is talking about the good news, there must be a bad news as well. So what is this bad news? So before we understand the good news and how God is revealing his righteousness through this good news, let us now look into the bad news for all of us. In the same book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 29 onwards I am reading. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So in these four verses of from 29 to 32, we have seen the word, the pronoun, they many times. Who is Paul referring to here? Who are they? Are there somebody else whom we are talking about? Or are we also included in that them or in that they? Yes, Paul is talking about the whole human race or whole humankind in which you and me are part of it. Which means all of us do have all these traits in our innate nature. From the day we were born, every one of us, everyone in this human race have all these things listed. That's why it's God who is saying that all these things are your nature, there are your traits. So, but in this world, men always say, I am a very good man, I am a very good woman, I am a good girl, I am a good boy, I am a good kid. Because we ourselves decide what is wrong, what is right, and in our own eyes, we are always good. So, which means we are assessing ourselves. We are doing a self-assessment, and after a self-assessment, we are giving a certification to ourselves, which we are self-certifying. I am a righteous man. I am a good man. But what is God saying? God's saying, I will give you a certificate because it is me who will assess. It is me who knows the inner parts of your heart and your life, and let me give you a certificate. So if I have to give you a certificate, what would be the certificate? Sister, next slide. That same verse is God's certificate for you and me in our original born nature. So here comes a revelation to all of us, saying that one, none of us are good. Not only that, we have certain traits which are shocking to us when we see murder, envy, adultery, depravity, so many things which I have never did. If you go in the world and ask them, you are a murderer, how many people will agree in this world of 8 billion people that they are murderers? I will ask you in front of us, how many murdered somebody? Children are laughing, see? Because we know that we never murder anybody. So which means I am good. God is unfair calling me a murderer. They are murderers. God is telling 8 billion people are murderers here. But now, we are asking ourselves, when we are certifying, I did not murder. I did not know many of the things which are listed here. So there is something I'm not able to understand. When God is certifying me that I am full of them. If you read the verse 29, they have become, one slide before, sister, yeah. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness. Not only that, in the next part, they are full of envy. So it's not partial, it's not someone, it's everybody filled with all kinds of wickedness. Full of all these ungodly traits. Okay, so now I need to find out, because I have a question. This is not pertaining to me, I'm not doing all of them, but still, Paul is saying, God is saying, this is who you are. Why? So let's go on that journey. Step one. Next slide. Right? So let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. Chapter 3. So in the previous scripture, what we have read, all those ungodly traits, sinful traits, there is something opposite to that one which God has given to the whole mankind. So we all know it is the Ten Commandments for the children to understand. For the adults to understand, it is the book of the law which was given to Moses with 613 commands and decrees and the statutes of God. So there is something which God has already given for the whole mankind to follow, which is the book of law, which are the Ten Commandments. And then when God is comparing men and women to that standard, God has certified what we have seen in the Romans 1:29-32. Now when we come to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, I'm reading. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So we'll stop at this scripture and understand the verse 10 before we go to 13. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone. Then there are two important words which I have underlined. who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. If you understand this one, then we will understand why God gave us that certificate to all of us. Which means, in all the Ten Commandments, with all the remaining 603 to follow, God's requirement and God's standard is that all of us should do all of them every moment of our entire life. Be it not to lie, not to covet, not to commit adultery, honor the parents, or to give worship unto the Lord without worshipping any other God. So all those commandments, what you know, and all those, the book of law, the requirement of God for God to certify you to be good is that you and me need to do them, everything, continuously. Now the God is asking, God is challenging the whole human race. Is there anyone who can do this or who did this? Now I ask you the same question. Can you certify, if not yourself, in this world, was there anyone in your knowledge, in your notice, a man or a woman in all the history or all your knowledge and all your vicinity who did verse 10? 10 seconds. Excellent. That's a very good answer. God bless you, whoever has said that one. Right? So on the planet Earth, apart from Jesus, is there anyone? The answer is no. Now we'll move on to the next verse. Verse 13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. So in the verse 10, the statement God is giving is that you and me and the whole world is cursed by God because you and me are not able to continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So that's why the word is, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So there is a curse upon every human being on the surface of this earth, including you and me, in our original born state. Am I right? Do you all agree? Yes. So we are under a curse. That's why verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us. So he purchased us out of that curse. How? From the curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. So because of that curse, there was a punishment given by God. What was that punishment? Just to go back to our first slide, Romans 1:29. The next one. Yes. The next one. One slide back, sorry. Yeah. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. So what was that curse which we are talking about in the book of Galatians? The curse is the death. So God is proclaiming that everyone who does these things, who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law, are under a curse, and that curse is a deserved death. Let's come back to Galatians. So chapter 3 verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. What is being hung on a tree? Where do we use the word hanging in our day-to-day life? In the courtrooms, we all know, in the legal setup, the word hang or hung is used to kill people as a punishment, as a capital punishment. So here God is telling, everyone must die by dying by hanging on a pole. So that's why your curse is your death, which is to be hung on a pole, all of us. So it is Christ who took that one for us. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. I am proceeding to read verse 14 also. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So now we understood why God gave that certificate to us. Our standards of measurement are not the same standards of measurements of God. That's why in our world, when men say that I am a good man, they measure themselves with a limited, self-determined righteousness. That was the first question. Who decides what is right and wrong? If I decide what is right and wrong, I can always put all those things which I do as the right and which I don't like them, I will not put them as wrong. And when I assess myself, how do I come out of that one? I come out as a clean person. Am I right? That's why when you go into the world, when you ask people, they will say, I am a good man. I do charity. Millions of dollars I am giving because I am a good man. I am feeding the poor. I don't hurt anybody. Even I do only if they touch me, I will touch them. That is also a good thing because I did not do it on my own. But when they hurt me, I am going to hurt them. So this is a self-determined righteousness, which is self-righteousness in the Bible. And God is telling, I don't measure with your standards. And I have one standard, which are the Ten Commandments and the book of the law, which I gave to Moses. And when I measure it, I don't measure partially, which means you have to do everything all the time. If you live 70 years into 365 days, into 24 hours, into 60 minutes, into 60 seconds. That's the reason Paul said, all of us are under sin. Now, where will I find this righteousness? If I try to find in the world, I am not able to find it. If I try to find it in myself, I am not able to find the righteousness. If I try to find it in my parents, I don't find it. If I try to find it in my teachers, no, you will not find it. Even if you try to find out in your friends, in your church, you will not find it. So where is this righteousness? It is hiding somewhere. It is not open. If it is open, everybody will know it. Am I right? That's why God said it is revealed. Because what you see is not the righteousness of me. Something fake. You have fake notes of currency, right? They appear to be real, but when you transact it, nobody will take it. There is no value in that one. So where is this righteousness? Let's find out. Step two. Step three. Next slide, sister. Let's open the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, I am reading. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. I am reading from verse 21, even though it is displayed on 22, 23. Let me read it from verse 21 onwards. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So here God declares, yes, you can find this righteousness. If you seek this righteousness, you will find this righteousness. Correct? If we lose something in our home, what do we do? We will try to seek where it is. When we seek, we will find it. So God saying, this righteousness from God comes through faith. Underline that word, faith. In Jesus Christ, to all who believe. So there are two things here. Your faith and faith in Jesus Christ. Your belief in Jesus Christ. Then you will receive the righteousness from God. How do I receive this righteousness? So God's requirement is that all those 10 commandments and the 613 commandments or the decrees or the statutes of the book of the law of Moses must be fulfilled everything all the time. And you and me cannot do it in our own capacity, in our own strength. Now God is telling, yes, I am going to give it to you. If I give it to you, you can have that righteousness. So that's why Jesus Christ has come down onto this earth. And because he died on that cross, when he died on that cross, what happened? When we read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 13, verse 13, he was the one who became the curse for me and you. So someone has to die on that pole, because only those who are on the pole are cursed and will be dead. So death is coming to those people. So I and you cannot go and die on that cross. If I die, I will forever be condemned, damned to eternal hell. So Jesus Christ, when he died on that pole, when he hung on that pole, all that curse and the death fell on him. Then what happened? Something beautiful happened. When all my sin fell on him, he is something else. He never sinned like you and me. So if there is a list of Romans 1, 29 to 32, if someone tries to identify any of them in Jesus Christ, they can never find it in Jesus Christ. He came as a man just like you and me. He is a truly God and a truly man. And then when men tried to find out that any of those sin traits in him, they could not find. Rather, they found out everything that is written in the Ten Commandments and the book of the law were fulfilled completely in that one man, Jesus Christ. Some child mentioned that one. Who was the one? Jesus. Is there anyone in this 8 billion people or in the past or the future who actually lived that life, which means to do everything continuously, it was Jesus Christ. So if God had to satisfy one man in the entire planet that he is righteous, whom will he satisfy? Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is telling, now you take me and wear me on yourself. Am I right? That's the grace of God displayed on the cross. Jesus is telling, I alone can do it. You can never do it. Past, present, future, believer, unbeliever. I'm coming to that one. Don't be hurry. I was an unbeliever. Now I am an unbeliever. Now I am a believer. Maybe I can do it now. No, never. You can't. It's only one, past, present, future, forever, who can fulfill God's requirements. It is Jesus Christ the Lord. And then Jesus is saying, if you wear me, because I have to put on Christ. Today I put on the shirt, right? To cover myself. All of you put on your clothes. Now God is telling in Jesus Christ, if you put on Christ, what will I see in you? Exactly. Right? I have a vest here, but I put on the shirt, you will see only this colored shirt. Every time God sees you, he will see only Christ in you. Amen. Provided if you wear him. That is what is Romans 3:23 saying, that one, for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. So apart from Christ, there is no righteousness at all in this world. In the past, today, or in the future. However good man can certify himself, assess himself, there is no righteousness at all, because they are not putting on Jesus Christ. But we have something else to understand. How do we put on this Christ? How do I believe this Christ? Is it enough for me to just believe in Christ? There are many in this world who believe in Christ. First, let's go one by one. First, we have to have faith. The righteousness of God comes by faith. Let's divide each word. So I will stop at the word faith. So there is a word called believe. So if we throw this word into the world, if you believe, you might get righteousness. They will come and people will come and say, I believe. And then what follows, what is the suffix to that belief is, I believe in one God. His name is XYZ. So they are also believing. So they are also having faith. But that faith doesn't matter, because the suffix to their belief is a man-made object. Right? They are believing some object which they themselves have made it. So when God sees that one and satisfies, you are believing but not in the right person. So that's where it is counted as nothing. So that kind of belief or that kind of faith is not valid in the sight of God. So in this world, we will always hear many people, or almost everyone, believes in something. Some believe in themselves. Some believe in the objects they created. Some believe in the knowledge. Some believe in their own wisdom. Some believe in the books of this world, philosophies of the world, which we have studied last time. But God said, if you believe with a suffix of all these things, none of these I will count it for me to give you the righteousness. You already know the answer why. All right. So we'll move on to the next. Romans chapter 3, verse 22-23. You need to believe in Christ Jesus. Now a question will be asked to the whole world. Do you believe in Jesus? First I asked only, do you believe? They said, yes, I believe, with a lot of unnecessary suffixes. No. I am modifying my statement. Now I'm asking you, do you believe in Jesus? Now half the crowd will put their hand. No, I will believe only my object which I have made. But many will raise their hand. Yes, I believe Jesus. He is my 11th God. Yes. Yes, I believe Jesus. He's a small baby which I saw in a little manger. He's an infant. He listens always to everyone who says to him something. He acts upon somebody's instructions. So there are people who believe Jesus also, but with their own understanding, with their own definition of Jesus. So there are a set of people who still believe Jesus, but they don't believe the right way. Because the good news which we are referring to here is not just belief in Christ Jesus, because the word is given to us, it's not stops there. The comprehensive gospel is given to the world. In that gospel, it's called a full gospel, you will understand exactly in what way you need to believe in whom and how. And that is the good news. Not everything is good news. Believing in Jesus is not good news. I have proved it to you. You go out. He is just a prophet. I believe Jesus. He's a prophet. Is that enough? Absolutely not. He's just another God out of many gods with me. No, not enough. He's just a baby or a one who always listens to others. No, not enough. That's not the way to understand Jesus Christ. Then how do we understand Jesus Christ? For us to believe this good news. So what is the actual good news? What is the real good news the Bible is talking about? Let's go to the next verse. Romans chapter 10, in the same book of Romans. Verse 9 and 10 I'm reading. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now let's go one by one here. Now we traveled from belief, no, it's not sufficient, belief in Jesus Christ. The world is already defining, it's actually sufficient. if you understand rightly. But world is twisting Jesus also. Am I right? So now we need to be very precise in showing the gospel to the world. Otherwise, you will end up in making people of false doctrine. We will end up in getting confused. So what is the true gospel? What is the comprehensive gospel? Yes, that Jesus Christ is a God who came down from heaven as a man and who died for my sins because he was the one who was hung on the pole. He became a curse on behalf of my curse. So I should understand that first. Before I believe, if you don't agree that you are under curse, you can never believe rightly in Jesus Christ. Understand this one. If you don't agree that I am a sinner, I am fully certified by God that I have full of wickedness and I am cursed, somebody else need to take my curse. If you don't understand that, you can never believe Jesus Christ rightly. Even though people say with their mouth or say that I believe, it is not counted. That's why the gospel is comprehensive. So God is saying that once you travel that path from Romans 1, 29, 32, understanding yourself, Galatians 3, 10 to 13, understanding that Christ became the curse on behalf of you, and now understanding from Romans 3, 22, 23, that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, now come to Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. How do I believe? I must believe that on my behalf, Christ died on that cross, and now I want to make him as my ruler. Till today, I am ruling myself. That's why I'm deciding myself what is right and wrong. But now God is saying, you have to make Jesus Christ as your Lord, which means everything in your life must be decided by Jesus Christ. He must rule and reign in your life. So he must be your Lord. The word Lord is actually a ruler. In our today we say presidents, prime ministers, kings, and other words, but in the past days, the Lord, landlord, we call it, which means he's authority over the entire land. Lord means he's authority over your entire life. So this is the confession God is asking everyone. So when you understand this, your sinful nature, and you have to make Jesus Christ, who died for you, as your Lord. He is the ruler. So this is a genuine, true confession that has to come from within you, not a mouth say, which means somebody told you to do Jesus is my Lord, and you come and say Jesus is my Lord. There is no active participation of your mind and your heart. It is only your mouth. But the gospel says that one, you have to believe also something. After that, you need to confess. What is that? Verse 9 and 10. See that one. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So here comes another introduction of somebody else. Maybe you might have heard about only Jesus Christ in your life. But the Bible shows you Jesus Christ, when he came, there is someone else in the heaven who actually is interacting with Jesus Christ. Which means God is not one person. God is a three persons in one divine Godhead. Because a father is there who is actually putting all his power to raise Jesus Christ from dead. Because Jesus Christ died on that cross, but there is no sin in him. So God raised him from the dead after 3 days, which we studied in my last message. If you remember that one, how God raised from the dead. Even when Christ went into the Hades, Satan and the demons and the Hades could not find any sin to capture him in the Hades. Then God said, come out. And Hades released Jesus Christ. So God in his power raised him from the dead. And this is part of the gospel. So now, understand and believe that Christ died for me. And then God raised him from the dead. So there is a genuine understanding of what Christ has done and what God has done for me. With that genuinity, you confess that Jesus is your Lord. In that also, your active participation of your mind and heart is required, because it's not just mouth say. You need to determine that from henceforth, I will not take my decisions on my own, but I will hand it over to my Lord Jesus Christ, because he is my Lord in my life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So now Paul is telling that in this good news, there is something is revealed. Romans 1. A righteousness from God is revealed in this gospel. So now I come to the true gospel. Now I'm able to see something a little bit from the blurred vision, some clear vision is coming to righteousness. When I started at Romans 1:29, I could not find righteousness anywhere, neither in me, neither in my friends, neither in my parents, neither in the world. Where is this righteousness? I'm trying to seek and search. But now, after journeying thus far, are you able to see the righteousness somewhere? Yes. This righteousness is only in Christ, through Christ. Because you and me are not capable to be righteous. That's why God said, I will give my righteousness unto you. And it is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. The other word of it is grace. The grace is enough. God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough for me. Did we sing that one today? Yes. How is this grace enough for you? Because any time in your life, if you want to be certified as good, it is not by your works. You can't do it. Never and never. Whether the world says, theologian says, anyone says, if God had to certify you that you are good, He will certify you only by Christ's righteousness. But then, what should I do? Shall I just leave everything? And because already God certified me by Christ's righteousness, here comes my duty and your duty. Because we now found righteousness where it is. It is in Christ Jesus. And this righteousness is not a righteousness that is extending from the world's righteousness. This righteousness is a complete new kind of righteousness, which means God is not telling there is a righteousness, now I am extending this righteousness so that you are all better than other people. No. Understand this. This requires a little bit of concentration. It's a bit complex to understand. The righteousness what was given to you and me is completely a different kind of righteousness. It is different in quality, difference in quantity. I'll explain you. Pharisees were the ones who always were righteous in their own sight. They challenged the whole congregation of Israel, always saying that one, see, we do everything as per the book of the law. God said, give us 10th of this one, till cumin and the money, we calculated exactly to the 10th and we gave it. God said, do not murder. No, we are not murdering anyone. God said, eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth. I waited till that guy hit me, then only I hit him. Am I right? That's what is eye for eye, tooth for the tooth. Because they have written their own good laws. So, when other people came to the Pharisees, they were not even able to compete with the Pharisees' righteousness. So here comes, Jesus Christ came and said, yes, it was said to you, eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth, but now I say to you, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Was the Pharisee able to do that one? Never. So God said, certificate, sinner. Then God said, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of Pharisees, you can never enter into the heaven. Am I right? Now, all the people who were downplayed by Pharisees, now I got your righteousness only to this level. Jesus said, now I can go a further step and I can beat you, a competition. But is that what Jesus meant? If your righteousness exceeds Pharisees' righteousness, unless you cannot enter the heaven. Which means, will I try to be a little bit, or will I compete with Pharisees' righteousness and try to be over them so that God will see me and certify me as righteous? No. The exceeding righteousness is only one righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness fulfilled in all. So for me to have that exceeding righteousness in quantity and quality, I have to first go to Christ's righteousness. I have to wear him. Then that righteousness will take you to eternal heaven. Because that's the only thing God has said. Unless your righteousness exceeds, and there is only one righteousness that exceeds the Pharisee's righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness. And if you have it, you are freely given entrance to heaven. That is grace. So by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, now you are all in heaven. Amen? Amen. That's the truth, I'm telling you. Even some other comes, even if I come tomorrow and say this is not the truth, don't believe me. What I say today is the truth. Now comes our responsibility. Now that I have received a certificate from God that I am righteous, now I have a certain duty and responsibility and gratitude towards my God who freely certified me as righteous. Let's open our Bible. Sister, let's go to the next slide. So now that you know where is the righteousness, it is behind the cross. Am I right? It is hidden behind the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Without the cross, you will never find righteousness anywhere in the world. But now I have sought it and I have found it. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all your needs will be met in Jesus' precious name, according to the riches of his glory and grace. That's the truth. No one can deny that one. If you really seek this righteousness, none of you will lack your needs by the riches of his glory. But now let's see, what is our final journey? So we already reached our righteousness now. We understood what is righteousness. We understood the comprehensive gospel by which I will be saved. I will be certified as good. So Jesus Christ's death on the cross is not just for us to be saved from the punishment. Not only that, there is a righteousness from God also revealed in that gospel. So for me to just be satisfied that I am never going to the lake of fire, I am never going to the hell because Christ saved me, is not enough for you. Because God's comprehensive good news is that he saved you from death and hell. That's why Jesus Christ has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our redemption, righteousness, holiness. All three are part of your provision from God in Christ. So first is salvation. Through salvation, now you have reached righteousness. Righteousness will take you to holiness. That's the path. So let's see the righteousness. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. So what is this Christ's righteousness doing to me? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We already understood it. Because for God to take us to heaven, the righteousness has to exceed Pharisees' righteousness. Only Christ has done it. And I put on Christ. God sees only Christ in me. And then for me, there is no condemnation. See, then, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. Romans 1, 29 to 32 is our original nature. But now something magnificent is happening in your lives and my life. There is a transformation God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. I was full of wickedness once. Now God is telling you will be fully righteous in Christ. Amen? Yes. How is that possible? You and me have to do something on that one. There is our part, not by our strength, but by our decision and determination. What is that? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Here comes the third person of the triune God. You already believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. After raising Jesus from the dead, when Jesus ascended to the God on high, sitting at the right hand side of the Father, he sent you the power from on high, who is the Holy Spirit, to reside in you and to give you the power to fully meet the requirements of the law. That is the Spirit of God. So your duty is not to try in your own strength to be right, but to understand what is God's righteous requirement, because God decides what is right, and you can do it now by the power of the Holy Spirit in you when you listen and walk under the government of the Holy Spirit. So that's my duty. I did not stop at being saved. I did not stop and satisfied at me being saved from the eternal lake of fire, but rather now I am going forward. Now what does God require of me? How do I please in this new life? Because I am a new creation. Holy Spirit God has entered in me. He is the power in me, and he is enabling me to do all things right now. Now I need to do it. That's what is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, 9 and 10. Let's read that one verse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Brother Cecil has already read, if you have remembered, during our praise and worship, the entire 8, 9 and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Right? We understood it very clearly. When someone said that you have to exceed Pharisees' righteousness, do I compete with Pharisees' righteousness and try to be a little bit over in them? No, I can't do that one. I cannot boast on my works. I have to say, God, that God, see Christ in me. I don't have anything else. I am naked. Cover me with Christ's righteousness. And you are covered with Christ's righteousness by your faith in Christ, in a genuine faith. And after that, God is telling, not only I'm covering you with Christ's righteousness, not only I'm taking you to heaven, now I have something else for you, my child. I have prepared something else for you. I'm giving you the power on high. So you will never boast on your works, but rather you will be glad that you are saved by faith, by grace through faith. Now, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now my, the rest of my life after knowing the true righteousness is to produce the living righteousness in me. I have imputed righteousness, covered righteousness. That is enough for me to go to heaven. But God is telling, no, I will not stop. I want to, you to please me with the practical living righteousness which only the grace will teach you. The grace of Christ teaches me how to live righteous. The grace has the power for me to live righteous life. See Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Let's read that. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Who teaches us to live righteous? It is written there. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many men? To all men. It teaches. In the place of it, you have to put the grace of God teaches. So the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and the worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are on a journey to be taken to heaven. We are waiting for Christ to appear, but we don't just wait like this without doing nothing, but we are being taught by the grace of God to say no to the ungodliness that comes every moment to me, because I am still in my depraved flesh. It poses challenge to me. There is a battle, and you
or to win that battle and be victorious by the power of the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. But I tell you one thing, you will not be taken to heaven by this victory. You were already taken to heaven by Christ's victory, because he's comprehensively righteous. You in your journey will never become Galatians chapter 3 verse 10, which means continue to do everything all the days of your life. It's only Christ who did it. But for you need to have your gratitude, because it is for this purpose God had saved you. God created you as a workmanship for you to do the good works which he prepared in advance, because he is glorified by your righteous, upright good works. And angels long to see that the created man is now able to bring glory back to God by his righteousness. This is Christ our righteousness. Amen. So what do we have in return? Because God already took us to heaven by Christ's righteousness. But now I'm obeying God and I'm doing right. Let's open to Revelation chapter 22. With this, we are going to close. Pay close attention to the last scripture. In Titus, we said that we are all waiting for the glorious appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? Now, chapter 22, verse 12. Sister, you can please put on the screen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So you have a gift, you have a reward. The gift is given through Christ's righteousness. Your reward is given by obeying Christ's righteousness and you pleasing God in your righteousness. Shall we all stand? Let's close our eyes and let us reflect on this journey from where we started and where we ended in God's instructions. We thank God for all the answers have been given in the scripture. It is not that God has hidden anything. It is revealed to all of us. To the babes, he has revealed his glorious truth. So from child to the adult, every one of us has now listened to God. Now it is for us to decide and to obey God in our own hearts. As I told you, the genuineness of heart is seen by God, not by man, but God sees the genuinity. If you have in the past have just confessed Jesus as only Lord because someone has asked you to say that one, but God says, no, I want it to come from the bottom of your heart, that you need to understand what I did for you and how I will make you righteous through my son, Jesus Christ. So dear child of God, dear son of God, dear daughter of God, this is God's plea for you. Get reconciled to God with a good decision, because the time is running out. God said, I'm going to come soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. And I have a great reward, and I have a gift of salvation to give you. So take a moment in your heart, confess it, that you want to believe Jesus Christ in all his comprehensive full gospel and receive the free gift of righteousness from God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to say thank you for your word, which teaches us, which admonishes us, which cleanses us from every unrighteousness. It's like a hammer that breaks all our innate sinful nature, Lord. We say thank you. From the throne of grace, you have given this to us. Your grace is enough, Lord, for all of us. I commit all the brothers and sisters, children, into your hand, Lord, even as many of them who have confessed, which we don't know, but you have heard them straight from their heart. Lord, forgive all their sins and clothe them with your Son, Jesus Christ's righteousness, so that they may receive a new life, a new creation, a and begin a new life to glorify your name by the power of the grace of God. We want to say thank you once again, Lord, for using me on this day as your mouthpiece. Humble me more and more, Lord, so that glory may belong to you and you alone, Lord. Committing all of us into your hands, even as we depart from this place, let your grace and your peace and your presence go with us and help us to be victorious over everything in our lives in the coming week and all the days of our life until we meet again in your presence to glorify your name. With honor and glory and praise unto your name, in Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in the victory of the Lord. Amen.